call back when I'm through. All right, good afternoon.
Doug, when you think of Pat Shurmur, what do you think of? You know him.
I go all the way back to 1999 with Pat, and he was our tight end coach here in Philadelphia. But smart. He's obviously been a head coach in this league, been a coordinator in this league. He's done an outstanding job with Minnesota the last couple of weeks and their last couple of years. And he understands defense, meaning he's putting his guys in positions to be successful, particularly that quarterback. It's been kind of fun to kind of watch him and watch kind of what they've done offensively this season as well.
Doug, you got to see the Vikings defense last year, but when you turn it on this year, what makes it so dominant?
This team's playing. Listen, they've been together now for a few years, so this group's playing with a lot of confidence, playing with a lot of speed, not a lot of mistakes. I mean, it's a scheme that just they just basically say, hey, line up and come after us, try to beat us. And that's what you see on tape. And it's a daunting task for us, obviously, this week.
What were your impressions of that game yesterday?
Well, obviously we were going to play the winner of the game. So for that matter, it didn't matter. But, that fourth quarter was pretty exciting, for any NFL game, particularly a divisional playoff game. But, one team was going to win, one team was going to lose, and just the way it all went down was pretty exciting, I think, for fans and for the league.
Where did you watch it?
Right upstairs.
With any other coaches?
Nah, I mean, there were coaches in the building, but not together, no.
So when you obviously your first postseason game as a head coach, the players talked a lot about just treating it like another game. For you, was it just another game once it started? Did it feel that way? Do you coach differently? Or did you try to just kind of have the exact same approach?
You try to go into it with the same approach. You don't do anything crazy just do the things that got you in that position, got you there in the first place. Once you get into the flow of the game, it's football, and you sort of block out all the peripheral stuff, whether it be the noise or, the score, time of the game, wherever you're at, and you just try to execute and help your team win the game.
It seemed from the intensity of practices to the messaging to the team, there was a lot of thought put into how you did the last 2 weeks. How do you regroup now and try to get them focused for this week? Or they're not focused, but that's...
Yeah, no, I mean, we all understand what's at stake with this weekend, and it's a great opportunity again for our team and for the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's the challenge, obviously, in probably our case and in the Vikings' case, is coming off of these emotional, close victories, and then having to turn around and do it again. I've just gotta make sure that I continue to, stay aggressive with the week of practice and prepare the guys. Just like we have the last couple of weeks, and just try to stay in our lane and try to block out some of the noise.
When you look at the offensive line, the way they played, especially on that screen pass to Jay, I mean, what kind of sticks out about that?
Was that the one in the third, fourth quarter?
32-yard.
There was a couple screens in there. So
the one where Wiz got the two.
Wiz got two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, listen, that was something. The screen game has been something we've worked on the last couple of weeks, and it had to get better as the season, wore on for us. And I tell you, it was just set up, perfectly for us and well executed to have Wiz downfield and block one but take out two, obviously helps the play. But, Screens are a big part of the game. This is something too that the Vikings use quite a bit as well. So it's a tough play if it's called in the right situation.
Second straight time. What possession to do that?
Back to back.
Yep.
There you go. Sometimes you can catch a group off guard. They don't expect two screens back to back. I've done it one other time in Kansas City and with success. And, it's just something that you just kind of get in the flow of the game, get in the feel of the game.
How big was it to get? The focusing of the playbook that you did leading up to Atlanta to put Nick in
positions to succeed and things he was comfortable with. As you went back and reviewed, were you happy with those decisions you had made overall? And does this will this week require some more tinkering, given what Minnesota likes to do?
Yeah, I felt leading up to the Falcon game, and you know the things that that Frank and I and had discussed and put together with the game plan was conducive to some of Nick's strengths. Obviously, you know, it wasn't anything crazy or out of the ordinary from what we've done all season. But plays where he was comfortable and really had a tight game plan. There really weren't a lot of moving parts, as far as motions and shifts and things like that. We had a couple of different wrinkle plays in there. But, other than that, just kind of felt real good about our game plan last week. And we got to do the same thing again this week.
Doug, there's a lot of celebration, of course, after that game. And guys are really happy, obviously, to be here. You saw Jeffrey Lurie dancing in the locker room. Guys are wearing masks, things like that. But for this team to now refocus and turn that page, every guy, almost the entire season, has said that this team is special and that we can do special things. What is the sense you get from your players that this is not good enough to be in the conference title? You guys want more?
Well, anytime you get to this point of the season, you do want more because you're on the doorstep of being one of those elite football teams. And, the word special with this team, it really means that. I mean, this is a really good group of men that play well together, have battled through adversity all season long with the injuries and yet still find ways to pull out wins. And, to have a lot of sort of, people not having a lot of confidence in us, and yet to find ways to win just makes it that much more special for this group. And they understand where we are. I'm sure Minnesota's the same way. You know, they understand where they are as well and the things they've heard all season long too. So, this is a special time of the year with a special group of men. We still have one more game this weekend and we'll see what happens.
When you watch the film of Nick, particularly in the second half, what changed? Did you make any adjustments? Was it confidence or was it Minnesota's defense?
Atlanta's defense?
I mean, sorry.
Jumping ahead of yourself. We didn't make a lot of wholesale changes at halftime. We just stuck to the game plan. Nick just got started getting into a little bit of a rhythm, in the second half a little bit more, and things began to open up. Alshon started getting the ball a little bit, Ertz a little bit more, and being able to take advantage of some things down the field. Screen game was a big part of that in the second half. So, wasn't a lot of major changes or overhauls at halftime. We just had to stick to our plan. Knew it was going to be a tough ball game for 60 minutes. Atlanta has a lot of playmakers on offense, and they can light a scoreboard up. But our deal was just staying consistent with our game plan.
When you have a veteran quarterback like that, are you kind of more confident that he'll be able to get himself into that rhythm as the game goes on?
Yeah, you feel like, with veteran quarterbacks that they've been in those situations, they've been in games, and they can kind of settle down early and calm down and get into that rhythm and feel that way with Nick, obviously, and the confidence that I have in him. Yeah.
Was the decision, Corey Clement, 5 catches, he only had 10 all year. Was that a conscious decision to involve him more in the passing game or just a product of how it went?
Just a product on how it went. Quite honestly, yeah.
What kind of weapon is he in the passing game when he can kind of turn the corner the way he did?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, first of all, he runs, he's getting better in route running. We threw some screens to him, which he's pretty good at that. And then, we got to be smart as a staff on how we use our running backs. And, people can start keying in on certain guys, certain personnel groups. And so we got to make sure that we mix things up. And, he's one of those guys that, feel like we're getting more comfortable with him throwing him the football and whether it's a screen or down the field. And you saw a couple out of the backfield to him and one big third down play there. So, he catches well, and he's done a nice job.
In Fletcher Cox's case, you guys say the stats on the show, how he does. in watching the film, what stood out about the game he had in Saturday?
Well, you know, as you know, we went in with three tackles, and we knew these guys were going to have to play a lot, and Fletcher was going to be one of those guys, and he's definitely an anchor, you know, with that D-line, and he was a man on a mission, you know, and just took a lot of it, you know, upon himself and got the rest of the D-line going a little bit, but very disruptive, you know, around the quarterback, you know, hitting Matt a little bit. A couple tackles for losses in there, you know, and just this time of year, man. I mean, it's just guys understand that it's win and keep going, or you don't, and your season's over. So he's a guy that we lean on a lot defensively from a leadership role, and he stood out nice.
Doug, you've been a Viking
starting a game here. They did not start the season as the starter. You having been in that position as a player before, how much do you appreciate that?
Yeah, I mean, it's you can definitely appreciate it as a backup quarterback. You know, you definitely want to be in, you know, it's unfortunate for the starter, but at the same time, it's a great opportunity for the backups. And you know, in both quarterbacks' cases, there's been a lot of talk about both these guys, you know, the whole season. And in our case, the last month. And they just seem to keep sort of defying the odds and, you know, stepping up to the challenges each week. And that's what's exciting and fun to see about these two guys is they've just overcome everything, you know, and have really, really helped their teams get to this position. And that's what you want.
Doug, you've been in a playoff
conference. What kind of heart-to-heart have you had with Dave Phipp after those three special teams errors on Saturday?
Well, we understand too that you know, when we talk special teams, and a lot of times it's about awareness and just being aware of the situation. As players, you know, as coaches, we try to put our players in you know, positions to be successful. And then, you know, once the play goes and the snap of the ball, then it's kind of up to the player to execute the plan and the details of their work. And a lot of times, you know, as much as I stand up here and talk to the guys about weather and wind and it's cold, it's sunny, it's hot, and ball security and this, that, and the other, it's part of being a professional athlete sometimes is just being aware of the situation and what we're trying to get accomplished. And we've seen it now in our case, and we saw it a week ago where punt returns have ended up not so good for the return team. And it's just something we got to just keep coaching our players. I talked to Dave again today and yesterday about it, and we just got to make sure we keep talking. We had some young guys on those plays that you know, were exposed for the kind of the first time in that situation, and we just got to keep talking to our players and keep coaching them up.
You waited to the second half to sprinkle a little inside zone read and outside zone read and then play action off of it. Why did you wait to the second half to do that?
Well, in the first half, you know, you saw the first play of the game was a play action jet sweep that we had first play of the game take a shot and just again the weather and the wind, but we got the play and we got the pass interference call. And as the game wore on too, the run game, the run just kept in the first half just kind of taking off with Jay and a little bit of 29 in the second quarter, and then that's just kind of what opens up the second half of the ball game. You know what I'm saying? So it's part of the run game in the first half and then utilizing that in the second half.
Yeah, totally.
You know, that's, again, one of his strengths. He's good at that. He's good, you know, a play-action pass quarterback. Most, you know, Carson's the same way. And so it just fell that way in the second half, and he gained couple throws to Alshon were off of a little play action. You know, Ertz was play action, and it worked to our advantage.
Like, confidence-wise, as Nick got more confident, did you sense that the team was feeding off of him a little bit?
Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, it was probably with any offense and any team. I mean, I'm sure the Patriots feel the same way with Brady. The way he goes, they feel that energy, you know, and same way with us. However your quarterback goes, you're gonna feed off of that, and you're gonna feel that energy, and you're gonna feel that confidence, you know, and that's the way the team felt as the game wore on the other day.
Doug, is the Vikings offense similar to yours?
Yeah, pretty similar. Pretty similar. You know, run, play action, and screen. I mean, that's what they do. That's what we've done the last couple of weeks. And, you know, it's the other thing you're seeing, too, I think, in our case, we were able to, you know, do a much better job on first and second down and help us out on third down the other night, I think 43%. So those are the things that you see Minnesota do. And they're successful on first down, keeps them third and manageable.
How important do you think
speaking of third down, Vikings have been 25% defensively, which is the best since the 70s, I think. What have you seen from their third down defense?
It's just a smothering defense. 97. I mean, he's a game wrecker. You gotta try to pass protect him. And it's just you get to third down and you know they'll pressure you a little bit. They play man coverage. The thing is they just mix it in. You just don't know necessarily, you know, what's coming, and it just comes down to your execution. But that's what you're seeing with this team is just the speed of the D-line getting to the quarterback and then just playing man coverage in the back end. That you know, Rhodes is a tremendous corner. Safeties are playing extremely well, so it's a good group on third down.
Doug, after the game, you when asked about that stretch where Ajayi wasn't on the field, you said it was like three and outs and stuff like that, but maybe you didn't realize it was 15 plays where he wasn't on the field. Was that Deuce's call? Did you go back and look upon it and just wonder why all of a sudden he wasn't out there for so long?
No, because I ultimately control the personnel. I mean, Deuce doesn't sub them. I'm the one calling the plays. So, you know, I call for those guys in particular situations. And a couple times when we broke off a long run or a pass particularly, you know, it was a good time to go a little tempo. And so, you know, whoever the back was at the time on the field just kept him in there. And, you know, 29 was heating up a little bit and wanted to get him going too as well. And it's just the way it went.
So there are still set plays that are blunt plays and Ajayi plays, oh, yeah. And so Ajayi still doesn't really kind of have the full.
No, he's got everybody. See, I think you. No, every back knows the run game, and they know the passing game. The way it is set up is by design. By scheme design, a particular back might be good at a certain run scheme. So we put that back in on that particular play. However, if we break off a long pass or a run, there's a chance that I go hurry up tempo, which I did the other day, and whichever back is in the – which means they have to know the whole complement of the offense. So we still go in with the same setup like we've done all season. It's just now a matter of me calling – that back or, you know, another back in whether it's a pass or a run in those situations.
How important is it when you look at Nick's, what he's trying to do here, his mental toughness to get through all the noise, all the outside distractions, and just be able to go out and perform at a high level?
Well, that's what he has to do. Just got to focus on his task, his job. We can't worry about it. It's like in my case, I can't worry about the outside. You know, the only reason I'm up here is because I'm obligated to be up here. You know, so I try to block it out as well, and that's what he's done, and he's done a tremendous job at doing that. And you know, listen, there is a great surrounding cast around him, and he doesn't have to do it himself. It's not about one guy, and you saw that the other day. It's a great example of that great team effort the other day. Was it perfect? No. But at the end of the day, we won the game, and we found a way to win the game, and that's all that matters.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks. Well, yeah, thanks.